so the next part should not be very long, partly because I didn't have the time to prepare enough slides. But what I want to say in this next part is that so whereas I think that the four-dimensional story sort of is the right point to start with these discussions, all of this should be generalizable to five dimensions. And so before going to five dimensions, let me say a little bit more about the four-dimensional theory. So this four-dimensional theory in this half omega background, we may enrich it with all kinds of defects as well. So we've looked a bit at boundary conditions, but there are other defects as well. So some of these play an important role, actually already in the four-dimensional story, but that might become a bit more explicit in the way I describe it, at least in the five-dimensional picture. So first of all, there are line defects. There is a class of line defects which was introduced by Fay, which are, at least if you consider them this background in terms of the cigar, this would be the line defects that would be wrapped around the circle of the cigar. Which are labeled by various things in the UV, and then which become expressed in terms of these complex Darboux coordinates when you go into the IR. I wonder whether there might be some more interesting type of line defects that one might consider in this geometry. So especially sort of in relation to other talks, and maybe if you turn on a particular twist, if you consider a particular twist of this background, but that's all for discussion. There are also surface defects. Surface defects have been studied as well in a lot of depth. So the simplest ones, the canonical ones, you wrap them around one of the planes, one of the complex planes, and the one that turns out to be sort of at least, which will be important in the following few slides, is the one where we wrap the surface defects along the omega deformed plane. So these surface defects, they can be described by coupling, for instance, some abelian gates theory to the 4D, some two-dimensional n equals 2.2 gates theory on this complex plane, by coupling that to the four-dimensional background. These surface defects, their moduli space is the UV curve C, so they are parameterized by a point which I denote by Z on this curve C. So this is something that Fay mentioned as well. So if I have this surface defect and the corresponding two-dimensional theory on C of epsilon, then there will be 2D BPS states, which are encoded in this description. And these 2D BPS states, you can visualize them. Actually, this is the way that the spectral networks probably were discovered, because these 2D BPS states, they're really the trajectories of the spectral network that end on this insertion, on this point C. So again, these 2D BPS states, they have some central charge, and the phase of this central charge is the phase of the network. The vacuum expectation values for these surface defects, which are a function of this parameter Z, they are solutions to the Oper equation. So the Opers that were important to write down the superpotential, these are the Opers which also are important to describe the surface defects, namely this, the vefs of the surface defects are solutions to this Oper equation. And right, so this is something that we'll see in a little bit more detail later. So so these, remember that these psi's, if you think about WKB, maybe the exercise that Faye gave you last week, this D of epsilon would be some Schrodinger equation, some Schrodinger operator, and you could do the WKB approximation by writing this psi as an exponent of an integral of S. So this is the same S that is the solution of the Riccati equation. If I take these psi's along along curves on C, then they give me the quantum periods. So in some way, the closed partition functions, these super potentials, they can be obtained from the open ones. So let's go to the next slide, because so this whole story, it can be lifted to five dimensions, or at least I think it should be able to lift it to five dimensions. So in five dimensions, we will get the five-dimensional n equals one theory, which is defined on this original sort of vibration that we consider to define the omega background. So it's given by the product of the complex plane with the spinning R2 background. It's known that these 5D n equals one theories, they can also be described by topological string theory, or at least some subset of them. And if we consider them in this half omega background, then in topological string theory, this is sometimes called the Nekrasov-Shatashvili background. So suppose that, right, so I could consider a surface defect on this omega deformed piece, so C, the twisted product of C and S1. And so that means that I put some three-dimensional n equals two theory on this on the world volume of this defect, and then I couple it to the five-dimensional theory. Then the moduli space of this surface defect is again some curve in some transverse directions. It's now a curve C star times C star, and this curve is I denoted here by sigma. It's known as the five-dimensional subacquitting curve. So the subacquitting curve of this five-dimensional theory. It's also known as the mirror curve in the context of topological string theory. And so you can take this reduction. So I haven't denoted the radius of the circle as one here, but there is some beta here as well. And if I take the limit of beta going to zero, then I end up with the four-dimensional story. Right, so one of the simplest examples is the resolved conifold geometry. So in topological string theory, what you do is, or at least what is a nice thing to do, is to take a toric background, a non-compact toric background. And one of the easiest ones is the resolved conifold, which is then by mirror symmetry related to this surface sigma, which in this case can be described explicitly by this equation where y, which is a C star variable, is equal to 1 minus q, where q is the exponentiated Kähler parameter, times x divided by 1 minus x. And so here I want to spend to engineer, to geometrically engineer this five-dimensional theory. I want to consider a certain covering over another curve. And what I'm doing here is I just take a covering consisting of a single sheet over the C star plane, which is parametrized by X, capital X. So then this curve, it engineers just a simple pure U1 theory in five dimensions. The subacquitting curve is then written in terms of the exponentiated variables x and y as below. So lambda is log of x, the log of y, the log of the other way around. So log of x, y, d log of x. And yeah, q is the exponentiated scalar parameter. So in this background, you can compute a partition function. So you can either compute this from the gauge theory perspective, where you compute this index in the omega half omega background, or you can compute the topological string partition function in this half omega background. And in this particular case, you'll find that it has a very simple form, which is written on top. So it's just a sum over q to the power k times k squared and some sine function. So the surface defects, FEFs, they are in this case solutions to an Hopper equation, but this time it's a difference operator, difference Hopper. It's of the type that that Andrei Okunkov showed in his talk. So in this type, in this case, it's a very simple one, a quite simple one, which is described by this difference equation denoted by d sigma, where the little x is the log of the capital X. So in particular, you can find solutions to this difference equation. And there is one solution which has appeared all over the topological string literature. And that's when this psi, I denoted by psi GV here, GV stands for Gopakuma-Vafa. So it's where psi GV is a ratio of two dilogarithm functions. So these are the standard dilogs which are just these products of one minus x times q to the power k. But this difference equation does not have a unique solution. And even in the 5D context, it's sort of even maybe even nicer than in the 4D context. But again, we can do a similar thing. We can consider the Borel sum of the formal expansion of this surface defect F, and that Borel sum gives us new solutions. I'm not sure whether I can prove this statement, but it includes a lot of solutions at least to this. To this difference equation in an object, which is interesting from a physics perspective as well. So this will be on the next slide. That is just like as in four dimensions, in this case, these FEFs of the surface defects, the jumps at least, in this Borel sum, they encode 3D BPS particles, which are coupled to the surface defect. So in this case, these 3D BPS particles, you might know them from the context of topological string theory, where they're often discussed as open M2 brains. And that is what the picture on the left tells you. So suppose that I insert this surface defect, in this case, at this position, capital X, I can wrap an M5 brain along a Lagrangian, which is ending at this point, as well as along the surface defect in five dimensions. And then there are M2 brains which end on this. And these M2 brains, they describe the 3D BPS particles in the corresponding three-dimensional n equals two theory that lives on the surface defect. So there's two kinds of 3D BPS particles. There are the particles which have an index k, and there are the particles which have an index k as well as t. And so in green, in the middle, you see their central charges. So these central charges are easy functions in terms of the coordinates x and in terms of the parameter, well, x and t, and in terms of the index k. Again, you can visualize these 3D BPS particles in terms of spectral networks. So here you should look at the lifted version of spectral networks to five dimensions, which is known as exponential spectral networks, and which was developed in depth by several papers of Banaji, Longhi, and Romo. So here we consider an even simpler case, I guess, because we have just one sheet in our covering. And that particular case was discussed in a paper by Grassi, Howe, and Neitzken, as well as another paper by us. And so these BPS states, they can be visualized by trajectories in the network that end at this position X, where the surface defect is inserted. So in this picture to the right, it's in red, it's denoted by X star. And so you see, well, there are two trajectories which end on this red, or at least on X star. So one is going, so maybe I haven't said this very clearly before, but so if we, when we looked at this curve sigma, it was, so it was a covering over C, well, just with a single sheet, and it has singularities. It has four singularities at X is equal to zero, X is equal to one, X is equal to Q inverse, and X is equal to infinity. So it has four of these four punctures. They correspond to sort of the four legs that come out of the toroid diagram. And right, so and these so the BPS states, they correspond to trajectories that connect this this X star to one of either the puncture X is equal to one or X is equal to Q inverse. These two punctures are kind of a special kind. They're for a different kind than the other two punctures. In any case, so you can compute using this formalism that that these trajectories, that they indeed have the right mass, so their mass is equal to the central charge, and they appear at exactly the charge, the face where you expect them to appear, consistent with these central charges. These central charges, they again have some, again, there is, well, if you look at sort of this plane with all the central charges, with all the critical rays, then there are two special cases. So there is a ray where all the, where a lot of these trajectories, sorry, where a lot of these critical rays are come together and where they accumulate. And that's what I denote by the GV phase here, the Kobe-Kumavava phase. That's in this notation, it's at pi over 2. And there is this other phase, which I denote by the non-perturbative phase, which is at 0. So what you find is that the Borel sum of psi in this Kobe-Kumavava direction, it's exactly this, this ratio of the standard dialogues, which is the well-known Kobe-Kumavava open partition function. Whereas in the non-perturbative phase, it's given by a ratio of Fadeev's quantum dialogues. And if you cross these critical rays, then you lose, well, with each ray, you lose a factor in this ratio. So now the corresponding sort of closed partition function, the superpotential, it can be computed in two ways. So since in this case we know what the expression for the superpotential is, we could just take its perturbative expansion and we can Borel sum it. And again, in that case, so you can do this explicitly in this simple setup, and you find again that the critical rays are exactly at the phases of the central charges of the 5D BPS particles. So these 5D BPS particles in this case, they correspond to some kind of degenerate trajectories again. So remember, in the four-dimensional world, they corresponded to these saddle trajectories, where two trajectories started to overlap. So in this case, it's a trajectory which intersects both these punctures x is equal to 1 and x is equal to q inverse. So there are only a discrete set of phases for which that happens. And so this is the simplest example in this picture, which corresponds to a particle of type Z1, t. So this corresponds, if you're familiar to the usual Gruppe Fafa setup, it corresponds to, so all these particles, they correspond to 5D particles, which are made up of D2s and D0s in this five-dimensional U1 gauge theory. Again, there's two special cases. There is the Koppe-Kammer-Fafa phase, where you get the Koppe-Kammer-Fafa answer, and there is the non-perturbative phase, where you get a non-perturbative completion, and this completion is very much like so a similar result was obtained by Teschner and collaborators Alim Zahai and Tully before, and they that was in the context of the self-dual background, and so they discovered that in this non-perturbative phase, the resulting superpotential is of a type that has been has appeared in works by Marcos Mourinho and collaborators. In this case, we get sort of a similar result, but it's slightly nicer in the sense that it's invariant under S-duality. So this non-perturbative phase seems special in the sense that there is this extra symmetry which inverts epsilon. For other more intricate geometries, you might not know what the superpotential is, and we think it's important to consider this problem from the perspective of the quantum periods again. So remember that we could, in the four-dimensional background, we also saw the superpotential as a generating function of opers, or in terms of a relation between the quantum periods. So something similar is true here as well. The result Konifold case is a little bit tricky though, because the B cycle is non-compact. So you'll need to regularize the corresponding quantum period. But if you regularize it, as in this equation below, then you find a similar relation between the B period and the A period, giving the superpotential that we found before as a Borel reason. Right. So that's where I got to, and it seems like my time is almost up. So maybe let me say that so this picture where you see the superpotential as a section of a line bundle, that picture is appears very explicitly in the paper by Alam, Sara, Tully, and Teschner, at least in the self-dual background. And there is a section in our paper as well, how to think about that in this background. So it turns out that the shifts, the jumps in W, they are dialogues again. So it's the same line bundle as appeared in four dimensions, which also describes this five-dimensional setup. I think that's all I wanted to say today. So I don't know, maybe there are some more questions.
Thanks very much, Lotte. Awesome. Thank you. So questions. And if you'd like to ask anything, please just unmute.
Is there anyone in the world of BV theories who has considered half omega backgrounds?
I was wondering, want to see anything?
There's some work of Dylan Butson that considers these half omega backgrounds.
I see. Okay, I'm not familiar with that.
I think some of it may be in his thesis as well, but it would be nice to try to see all the different features you laid out here, in that formalism, and maybe see if any new insight could be gained. Thanks for the really sort of beautiful description of all of this. That was extremely nice and useful.
Well, that's good to hear.
Okay. If there are no further questions or comments, well, thank you again.